This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I am Freddie Bell. We've got a really big show for you this week. Financial expert Lipel Sternbach is here. He's talking about ways to help us to keep more money in our pocketbook. Cassie Crandall stops by. She's on deck. She shares lifestyle tips. Our career coach, Joe McKenzie, is here, too. He's got some ideas on how to energize your job search. I also have this week's Words to the Wise and our Week in Review. And New Beginning starts right now. Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and now it's time to talk finance with Lipel Sternbach. Lipel is an Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. Lipel, welcome back to New Beginnings. How are you this week?
Hey, how are you doing today?
Unbelievable, and I'm excited to get into talking about this. I've been hearing a lot about market uncertainty. We've been hearing about building a better financial foundation in terms of the United States and inflation and all the rest of it. There's been a lot of alarming news recently about how the market seemed to have gotten a little crazier as investors. I'm wondering, what should I be thinking? I don't have a huge nest egg, and I'm talking for the people who are listening to us this weekend. What do I do? Do I put things on hold during all this volatility, or what do I do?
So that is a really great question, right? I mean, you always got to be asking yourself, what do I do now? And the answer that I always have, and this is it doesn't really matter what the decision is, but the question I always ask is, has anything changed since I last made this decision? When I put my money into the market, or whether I, you know, whatever car I chose or whatever, it doesn't matter what the decision is. I mean, I literally use this for every decision in life. My question is, has anything changed to make me reevaluate this decision? Is there something different about the fundamentals of, and I don't care about the fundamentals of life. What I care about, the fundamentals that I base my decision on, have those changed? So let's talk about fundamentals as they are related to investments and volatility. What is the reason that we invested in the market, right? Now, I can tell you from an academic standpoint, there is only one reason to invest in the market. And that is because historically, the market always goes up. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know why the market always goes up?
The true answer is Lipel Sternbach, who's on fire. I do not.
Okay.
I have to tell you, I do not know.
I don't think most people know the answer to this question. And the answer to this question, I think, will surprise most people. But if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. The reason why the stock market, and to me, why the United States stock market and the global stock market will generally always increase, and will always increase in the long run, is because we keep making babies. The population of the world increases.
Hold on. It goes up. I got to contain myself, Lipel, because we keep making babies.
Seriously? Correct. Yep. Because we keep making babies. Because what is the first thing that a baby needs? It needs food, right?
Yes.
It needs sustenance. It is a consumer. We have built a consumer-based society. Mm-hmm. So as long as the world works and our economy functions, because one person has something that another person needs, and we will exchange value to get that something. And as long as there are more consumers then there are producers, which is the definition of having babies, the market will always go up. Now, to me, a little bit of a frightening statistic is that our birth rate has gone down. And China is facing a real problem where their population growth has decreased so significantly that they're now paying people to have babies. So long term, you know, in 50 years from now, that might be a problem, that we don't have enough babies. But for right now, the world population is continuing to grow. And as long as we provide people an opportunity to work and to consume goods and we don't move to a socialist planned economy, the stock market's going to continue. Now, unless we become, a socialist planned economy, a planned economy where individual input and individual effort is not rewarded, then our economy is always going to grow, which means that the stock market, where private companies go to get funding from the public, is always going to grow because there is going to be more goods that need to be produced, more companies and more value to be delivered. And you can participate in that growth by giving companies money to fuel that growth and owning a piece of that growth. Now, if we do go to a planned economy where things are private or are public and private endeavors and individual endeavors are not rewarded, then, we have problems, but you probably won't be too concerned about it because your money will be seized by the state and all become public anyways. So it doesn't really matter at that point.
Your examples are really interesting. So you know what? You give me solace in the fact that as long as we're making babies, that everything should still be okay. But is that enough? Is that information enough liable to take the anxiety out of dealing with the market?
So it will not do anything for your anxiety. I don't think so. But what the way I look at it, right, I always try to reframe the question. So when I get worried about the market or any decision I make, I look at it and I say, okay, well, why did I invest in it, right? I thought this was a good decision because I needed my money to grow, right? I invested it because I need my money to increase more than inflation, and I need a certain amount to live on for retirement. So whatever those decisions that led you to the conclusion that investing in the market was the right thing to do. And if you don't have a series of questions that led you to that answer, then you're going to always be asking yourself the question of, should I get out? Should I do something different? Because you didn't have really a valid reason for investing in the market. But if you have a valid reason for investing in the market and you have valid questions that got you to the conclusion that investing in the market is the best choice for me, then just go back and revisit those questions and say, do those answers still hold true? So for myself, I invest in the market because it is it has statistically, historically been the greatest wealth generator of all time. It is a way for me to participate in the growth of our economy, of the global economy, which has historically produced 6 to 7% inflation adjusted returns. That means regardless of the years, like, this past year where we had 7% inflation, forget about including that, those numbers, and, hyperinflation of the 70s, including that, it has returned a real return of 6 to 7% since 1900, which there's nothing else out there that, has steadily done that. There are, real estate, I think it's 3 to 4% on average, mm-hmm. but you have lots of issues with, local areas that completely bomb. But if you invested in the S&P 500, which has a track record going back to slightly before 1900, which has been, was created by Dow Jones and, Wall Street Journal, they've been tracking this. They created the index, and now you can invest in that index. It has grown. And because it is an index and it gets rebalanced and the losers get removed and the new winners get added, it's kind of the best, do-it-yourself investment. Because it will always grow over time. It has historically. Now, something may change that in the future. So if something leads me to believe that the future will not look like the past in that regard, I may pull my money out. But until that changes, until something says that the top 500 companies in the United States are not the best place to put my money, I'm going to keep putting my money there. Right.
We're talking with Leibel Sternbach, and we're talking about anxiety and dealing with it in the marketplace today. So based on what you're saying, am I reading this correctly, that you don't have that much concern because of the history of the marketplace and the state of the economy? You believe that it will recover because the track record says that's what it does?
So we have the track record says that, these types of bumps happen regularly. So as long as the track record, as long as the fundamentals that got us to today haven't changed, right? So we are still, you know, a democratic republic. We are still, you know, considered to be the world leader, the freest country. We're still, you know, have an economy that is growing. We're still considered, you know, to be a source of innovation. As long as those things remain true, our economy should continue to grow. And there's nothing that would lead me to believe that, you know, our gross domestic product is going to shrink. Now, that is, you know, the reason why I invest in, you know, the S&P 500. Now, my reason for investing in the other financial decisions that lead me to say, you know, this is how much money I should have in the market. This is how much equity exposure I should have, right? Each of those decisions need to be visited. And I may say, well, you know what? Maybe I'll take a little bit off of the market, or maybe I'll invest a little bit more in my international than my domestic equity, my U.S. equity. That might happen, right? But my global outlook, my outlook for our future is going to remain the same, right? Because our fundamentals are sound as a country. And so I'd like to take that step back and say, did our fundamentals really change? I mean, I get the fact that everyone's talking about things on the news. I get that the Fed is talking about raising interest rates. I get that, you know, whatever's happening is happening. And, you know, I'm intentionally being vague because it doesn't really matter what's happening. There's always going to be news. I mean, that's the job of the news, is to create news. Right. So as long as there, you know, the real question is does any of the news really impact us? Like, I mean, if Mexico decided to invade, that would be, you know, something to consider. If Canada decided to go to war with us, then we can revisit and say, well, you know what? Is the U.S. really going to continue growing? Maybe there's a fundamental change there, right? But yeah, change.
That really would be a fundamental change if those things did take place. We're just about out of time for this segment, but I've got a question, really quick question for you. With cryptocurrency, is that changing our marketplace? Bitcoin, I heard Mark Cuban say, don't invest more than you can stand to lose, because he's been losing every day. What would you say?
So crypto is a great question. I think that as an average investor, it is not a place to invest. I think if you invest, it's what would we call a speculative investment. So if you've got a few percent that you can afford to lose 100% of your investment, then, and you feel a need to or a desire to go play and gamble, then go do that. But right now it is a speculative field. Mm-hmm. There's no saying who's going to be the winners and who's going to be the losers. So do not put your retirement money in crypto. At least not a large portion of it.
He's Lyval Sternbach. He's on fire. We're talking about market anxiety. Lyval doesn't have very much anxiety talking about finances this week. His website is simply LyvalOnFire.com. That's LyvalOnFire.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. By now, you probably know how easy it is to order up a ride or get food delivered just by using our computer or smartphone. Services that jump immediately into action for you are booming and diversifying. In 2019, for example, well before the pandemic, nearly 65 million Americans purchased an on-demand good or service, that according to a research firm, Rockbridge Associates. People are using these companies because they solve problems that were not solved before. There are some new categories, and here are some of the newer on-demand services that you may already be taking advantage of. Number one is you can handle your daily chores. TaskRabbit connects you with workers who will take on your household chores, including home repairs, gardening, and cleaning. Handy is another service that can help with cleaning as well as with various small jobs such as furniture assembly. There's another one if you want to move heavy objects, if you need to move a couple of big pieces of furniture. Dolly can do that and other tasks too. It can even pick up something you bought from a store. A service called Lug, is spelled L-U-G-G, can assist not only with home delivery of items but also with small moves and junk removal. Do you need to walk the dog? Rover or Wag lets you know about neighbors offering animal-friendly services. Cleaning your clothes is easy, too. A company called Rinse will pick up your dirty clothes for dry cleaning or regular washing and then deliver them back to you. Likewise, there are some local providers who do laundry pickup and delivery. Do you need to get your medication? Nimble Rx, an online pharmacy, provides home delivery of medications. Plus, you can have some prescriptions delivered through Walgreens or CVS or other major pharmacies. Do you need to get your hair done? Soothe, best known for sending professional masseuses to you, also offers in-home hair care. Priv, featuring home manicures and personal trainers in addition to hair care, is a similar service that's now available in a few bigger markets. And how about washing your car? With Wash or Washos, someone will come to your home and give your car a wash, a wax, or even detailing. Washi currently provides services in Florida, California, Arizona, New Jersey, and New York. Washos is presently available only in parts of California. I'm Freddie Bell, keeping you up to date on some tech-savvy things that you can take advantage of right now. Are you on the go? As air travel slowly returns, I've got a step-by-step guide to boarding in style. If you're looking to book your trip, research whether you'll have to provide proof of negative COVID-19 tests prior to arrival at your destination. Go to covid19.state.gov, then click on country-specific information. Many countries have not been admitting travelers from the United States. Info on these restrictions is also available on this site. Checking in from home is really easy, too. Print your boarding pass at home or download it to your smartphone to avoid touching airport kiosk. Number three, you can set a schedule. Leave extra time for coronavirus safety procedures and screenings at the airport. Allow a minimum of 2 hours for a domestic flight and plan for 3 hours if you're going on an international trip. If you need a ride to the airport, you can take a taxi or a ride booking service such as Uber or Lyft so you don't have to use the multi-passenger shuttle bus from the parking lot to the terminal. And as you get to the terminal, put on your mask. Passengers are required to wear one except eating or drinking, and this restriction won't be lifted by the TSA until around April 18th. And then reaching the line, you can scan your own boarding pass at security checkpoints and show it to the TSA officer for visual inspection instead of handing it over. Place personal items in your carry-on bag rather than in a plastic bin. And then number seven, making it through security, remove the food from your carry-ons and put it into a separate plastic bin for screening. Liquid restrictions have been eased for hand sanitizers. You can bring up to 12 ounces. Remove it from your bag for separate screening. And then boarding the plane. Show your proof of a negative COVID test if they require it. If they don't, you've already got it ready. And then number nine, taking your seat. Sanitize the tray tables and the armrests. Many airlines are offering sanitizing wipes as soon as you board the plane. I'm Freddie Bell, keeping you up to date on everything tech and helping you to travel as our country starts to reopen. This is New Beginnings. Thank you so much for joining us this week on New Beginnings, and we really appreciate all of our guests this week. As we look back at the weekend review, NASA astronaut Mark Vandehei has ended his record-breaking 355 days in space. Vandehei spent more time on the International Space Station than any other American astronaut. He and two Russian cosmonauts made their way back to Earth after boarding a Russian Soyuz spacecraft. They made a parachute-assisted landing in Kazakhstan earlier this week. President Biden has signed a bill making lynching a federal hate crime for the very first time. Speaking at the White House, Biden says, the bill is long overdue. The measure is named after Emmett Till, a black teenager who was brutally tortured and murdered back in 1955. The tragedy sparked the civil rights movement. The president calls lynching pure terror that has often been committed in broad daylight. Biden says racial hatred is a persistent problem. Vice President Harris called the bill historic and says it represents unfinished business. She also says that thousands of black people have been tortured and murdered by vigilantes since the Civil War era. The anti-lynching bill passed Congress with wide bipartisan support. Related to that, two University of Houston volleyball players are deleting their Twitter accounts after a social media video referencing a lynching tree service. The video posted on TikTok features two white players driving by a Texas tree where two black teens were hung by a mob in 1935. A UH spokesperson says they're performing their due diligence but declined further comment. The video was apparently shot by a third white volleyball player who also deleted her account. Millions of people are about to start getting a fourth COVID shot. The FDA and CDC both signed off for everyone over 50. The CDC director says this will boost protection, especially for those at a higher risk. The extra doses will be headed to pharmacies over the next few days as a new version of Omicron is now the dominant strain. The FDA plans to meet next week about boosters for specific variants or expanding the current shots to all ages. And also there's a new effort to end the travel mask mandate before it expires later on this month. 21 states are suing so people no longer have to cover up on public transportation. Florida is leading the charge, claiming the CDC never had the authority to issue the mandate. And a hearing took place in the case of a Connecticut school massacre. The families of 13 Sandy Hook victims want a radio host held in contempt and arrested for skipping depositions last week. They're suing Alex Jones for saying the 2012 shootings were fake. And by now, everyone has heard the buzz about Will Smith's slap of Chris Rock, and it's responsible for a major spike in viewership during the Academy Awards. Viewership grew by over 500,000 in the 15-minute span that saw Smith strike Rock over a joke made about Jada Pinkett Smith. The show's viewership then rose again when Smith won Best Actor to a number of over 600,000 viewers. Smith has since apologized for slapping Rock and called his behavior unacceptable and inexcusable. And basketball legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is one of the latest reacting. He talks about it in a blog post titled, "Will Smith Did a Bad, Bad Thing." He argues that Smith advocated violence and advanced stereotypes about the black community. And Tiger Woods may be on the verge of making another comeback. ESPN sources says the five-time Masters winner played a practice round at Augusta National Golf Club this week. Woods has not officially said if he'll take part in this year's Masters tournament. The 15-time major champion has not played in a PGA Tour since the 2020 Masters. He suffered leg and foot injuries in a car accident in February of last year. And speaking of sports, Olympic superstar Simone Biles isn't ruling out returning to the gymnastics floor. She gave hints that she may return to competition, even though being 25 years old is already considered aged out for a gymnast. The Olympic gold medalist pulled out of the Tokyo Olympics last year due to struggles with mental health. Biles says she may push it a little bit more to see if she's still at her peak. It happened this week, and this is New Beginnings.
All Minnesotans aged 12 and older who got the Pfizer vaccine should get a booster shot at least 5 months after their second dose. People aged 12 to 17 can also receive the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine as their booster dose. To find a vaccine or a booster for your child, visit mn.gov/vaxforkids or check with your healthcare provider or pharmacy or watch for vaccination clinics being offered at schools or other community locations near you. This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. It's the weekend, and I'm so excited now because we get to turn our attention to Joe McKenzie. He has this knack of turning candidates into contenders. He has a company called Ripple Connects, a company that he founded some time ago, and they help people in every phase of their career. And he's with us this morning. Joe McKenzie, good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. You know, when we talk about career search, you know, we're in spring right now. Spring has sprung, and I know people are looking for different opportunities. They're trying to branch out, so to speak, and just to cast a new picture on their career. And I'm wondering, and thinking about that, what would you suggest to someone who maybe is in their career, they're looking to move up in the organization or to move out of the organization? What would they need to do to re-energize their search?
Well, there's a couple simple ways, and I think we've all been there, Freddie, where we started a job search, we may have some early activity or some smaller wins or success, and then nothing takes hold. So you don't move up or out. And some of us will sit there and go, well, what am I doing? What's going wrong that nothing is happening? And I want to always make sure that it's very actionable steps that you can take to re-energize your job search. And, you know, it builds upon what we've been talking about for years, and that's engaging with your network and having conversations and just making sure you're at your creative best for a creative job search. And I always want to approach it that they it's actionable this weekend, Freddie, or next week when they want to re-energize it. And Freddie, simply, when we get that early success and we say we've had some networking meetings or informational meetings and say 90 days goes past and then nothing's really taken hold, I would say, Freddie, circle back with the people you had those initial conversations with.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. Because you want to update them. We want to let them know that your intentions are to continue to make this move. But what if you learn some information along the way that you want to share with that person that you talked with 90 days ago?
Mm-hmm.
You're bringing new information to the table. Maybe someone said, well, this industry, this company's hiring, this industry's got this challenge that I want to be a part of tackling that. What if you circle back for that reason alone to update the people that you talked about in January here in April? That is a whole nother conversation, right? It's different than that first conversation.
It's vastly different. And so now you've got a reason to get back with your bench of advocates or these influencers in your life. And now you have something really, really meaty to talk about.
Exactly. And that's what I'm confident that you'll have learned one or two takeaways or something about where you're trying to go in that 90-day window. That's a built-in reason to circle back and just have that conversation again. Hey, I wanted to update you where I'm at. I'm still looking at targeting these industries, but this is what I learned about this industry. This industry, because of the supply chain issues, is having this, or the funding issues in the nonprofit sector. They're up against this. If you have new information, share that with them. Oh, you know, we talk about spring, and soon we'll be putting seeds in the ground to, you know, grow our vegetables and so forth. Consider planting seeds with someone. You don't know what's going to take hold. And if you share with new information that you can bring to the table and ultimately to your new job search, you may have a new set of activity that comes from that. Nothing's 100%, but I've always said it's 0% if you don't try it.
Exactly. Everyone, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connects. We're talking about ways to re-energize your job search. So I can hear people talking about this right now. They're considering, well, I'd like to get back with some folks, but you know, why would they even want to know how my interview went or what I'm thinking about. I really don't want to bother them. Talk about that mindset.
And that is a mindset that we have to overcome. Every person is a case-by-case example. Some people are harder to get a hold of. Some are easier to get a hold of. Some you'll sense that they're wanting to know where you're at. Some maybe not. You know, the use of, you know, social media messaging, primarily that LinkedIn messaging, can be a way to, if you don't want to have a conversation, you can share information. Hey, look at this article about this industry. This is what I've learned about one of the employment targets I had. You know, there's different ways to go about it, but Freddie, if we go about this right and we have those people, that bench of career advocates and that greater professional network, as long as we're mindful not to how do I say it, just be overbearing, I think occasionally, you know, every couple of months reaching out, I don't think is stepping on people's toes or being you know, disruptive. So that's how I would handle it. But Freddie, the payoff is that you're wanting to keep that job search going. And if you can get future conversations or that next round of conversations because of your circle back, then it's worth it. One other point, Freddie, I want to make here.
Sure.
If we are to transform our job search, we might have to be talking to people that are completely out of our industry, so they can see it from a third-party viewpoint, that maybe we will learn more about their industry and how we could potentially target that industry. It was hard for me to see 20 years ago that I would be any value or impactful in the nonprofit community or organizations that are in Twin Cities. But because of the conversations I had when I was not in that industry, I started to learn the value that I brought. And those conversations with people completely outside your industry may unearth some transferable skills, those skills that are portable that you can take from one industry to another, the communication, the leadership, the technical skills, the writing, the speaking. Those are all transferable. And what if, Freddie, you have a conversation with someone that's outside your industry and they said, have you ever thought about, you know, looking for a role in the tech industry or education or healthcare or construction? And if you talk to people that are in it and they're completely different industry than you are, you may realize that some of those transferable skills that you have are marketable in those industries. That's why that's another step I would make to re-energize your job search. Bring more employment targets, more industry sector targets to the conversation. Then that might re-energize things.
That's really interesting, everyone. We're talking with Joe McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connects, about re-energizing your job search. And what I've found, Joe McKenzie, in just talking with you over time, that this is not just a one-way street. I've found that people who are on my bench of advocates, I find that they are reaching out to me, just checking in, seeing how things are going, and starting the conversation by saying, did you know, or how about this, or... And it just leads into so many wonderful different directions.
Absolutely, Freddie. And that is the wonderful thing about building those connections, that reciprocal nature of those connections, because we're all in this together. And I know that if someone needed my insight, I would be there for them. And in a world like it is today, with so many things that seem so out of our control, isn't it nice to know that we're all thinking about each other from time to time and we're collaborating or going back and forth on different ideas? So that does occur. And that is a wonderful thing in this day and age that we can count on each other, individuals counting on other individuals. And that does happen. Isn't it refreshing when you get a call from someone and say, hey, Freddie, were you aware of this? And that might be that next conversation you have.
You just never know. And I tell you what, if I got a call like that and I'm in this mold, that certainly would be something that would re-energize me at that point. And I also noticed that you mentioned, you just touched on it briefly, you talked about creative downtime as well.
Yes. Be sure to schedule creative downtime. Take a walk now that the weather's getting better. Take a walk. Take a day trip. Spend time with friends and family. when we schedule that downtime and we get a chance to not look at a computer or talk on the phone and our creative mindset sets in, you never know who you've thought of that you could reach out to, or you hear something or thought of something that you can act upon. And humans need that creative downtime. And Freddie, coming back from that day trip or that long walk, and you can act upon something, that can be energizing. And that's, I always tell my clients, take some time off. Don't look to be in front of a computer or on the phone thinking job search 9 to 5. Spend time outside. Nature has a great way of bringing that creativity out of us.
That's a wonderful thing. That's Joe McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connects. Circle back with your professional network, update them, and share information that you've gained. Set up conversations with professionals in and out of your industry, and schedule some downtime to help you to recharge. Joe McKenzie, that's fine stuff. You do some great work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell, and I came across these things as I was preparing for the show this week. I saw that UFOs were caught on a doorbell camera over Las Vegas. A Nevada homeowner claims that the doorbell camera captured a fleet of UFOs flying in the sky. In the video, a bright colored object quickly flew by, followed by another further in the distance. As the video continued, more and more UFOs could be seen passing in the night sky. The objects appeared to be flying at low levels at times, hovering right above the trees. I'm wondering, what odd thing did your doorbell camera pick up? And there are also some ways to improve your life without really trying. The Guardian published 100 ways to improve your life without really trying, and there is a full list, and they include send a voice note instead of a text. They sound like personal mini podcasts. Don't be weird about how to stack the dishwasher. If you're going less than a mile, walk. Or a cycle. We're talking about different ways to improve your life without really trying. And the last one, make a friend from a different generation. And how did you upgrade that customer? On Twitter, there was an individual who shared that he worked at McDonald's for 2.5 years. He said he put 11 nuggets in almost every 10 piece that he made. I'm wondering, how did you upgrade your customer or your clients? And here are some things that you probably didn't know about yesterday. It's probably time to upgrade your brain. 162,719 pints of Irish stout are lost every year in men's mustaches. Cats can make over 100 vocal sounds. 44% of adults admitted to picking their nose and yuck, eating it. And men prefer long hair. They say, and you know how they are, that if you're a single woman thinking about cutting your hair really short, think again. A university study found that men overwhelmingly prefer long hair to short hair. Researchers think this may have something to do with the idea that long hair means good genes, since it takes years to grow healthy long hair. And this is wacky, but it's true. A man faked his death to see who would show up at the funeral. Yes, a man in Romania wanted to see how many people would turn up at his funeral, so he faked his own death. And it turns out not so many people showed up. The 45-year-old man was pretty upset when only his elderly mom turned up for the burial. And how many miles do you get to a gallon? So let's do the math. A recent survey revealed that the average person walks 900 miles a year. Another revealed that the average person consumes 20 gallons of beer per year. Conclusion, the average person gets 45 miles per gallon. Some things that I wanted to share with you this week, and this is New Beginnings.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now it's time to see what's going on for the new beginners out there. Let's bring in Three Things with Cassie Crandall.
Thank you, Freddie. This week's thing number one. Can we talk? I know. It's Joan Rivers' line, and I certainly don't want to steal it from her. But there are times I really miss Joan Rivers, because who still watches awards shows? I miss Joan Rivers now, and her daughter. They'd stand on the red carpet and they'd greet people as they came in and they'd analyze and judge their clothing. I used to sort of like that part of the awards shows. It was fun to see all the actors and actresses out there and what they were wearing, the magnificent gowns and interesting suits sometimes, and who was with whom, and there was so much to talk about. But now here comes what we all know I'm going to talk about, the slap. I really don't have an opinion about it, but I do have some questions. I have a lot of questions and thoughts about it. So in case you haven't heard and you've been living under a rock, apparently at the Oscars when Chris Rock was up on stage, he made a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith being bald. She is bald due to having alopecia. And when he first made the joke, the observation was that Will Smith, Jada Pinkett Smith's husband, laughed at the joke. But upon seeing Jada Pinkett Smith's reaction, which was she kind of rolled her eyes in response to the joke, Will Smith proceeded to storm up on stage and slapped Chris Rock in the face. And I believe there were some unfavorable comments and words used as well. In any case, I have a lot of thoughts about this, and I know other people have thought about it. Was it staged? We all know, if we pay any attention to news and media, that ratings for award shows have drastically decreased. People aren't watching like they used to. So was this staged? I don't know. It made people pay attention. It's all that's made the news lately. And maybe people thought, oh, well, maybe I should start watching again if interesting things like this are going to happen. Now, I really hate to think that it was staged, but in my world, anything's possible. So something to think about. My other thought is that, you know, Will Smith initially laughed at the joke. And I don't criticize him for that, simply because sometimes you have to laugh a little. I have friends with alopecia. I myself have gone through many medical health type issues, and I have friends who've gone through things far worse than alopecia. And what we all share is that, yeah, sometimes you have to laugh about it, because if you're not laughing, you're spiraling down that dark hole, and we really don't want to do that. Another question I have is, should Will Smith be charged with assault? Is Chris Rock pressing charges? I don't know. The whole thing was just really weird. And I think that in different circumstances, Will Smith could have been hauled off the stage and arrested. If they wanted attention for it, well, maybe they should have done that too. I don't know. As I said, no opinions here, just lots and lots of questions. Anyway, something to think about. But I also give Will Smith credit for defending his wife's honor. I think that we all can understand that a little bit. I know for darn sure that if someone said something to me that was upsetting me, that my husband would definitely respond to it. But I wouldn't expect him to run up on stage and slug the guy. So what do you think? Are these things entertaining or are they just kind of sad? That's my thing number one. Did you know that just over 0.3% of university students are over the age of 65? Wow. I thought I was old going back to school in my early 50s, but apparently I am not alone and I'm one of the younger, older people who are making this choice. I think a lot of us, maybe when we started out in our youth, maybe we started college and life got in the way. For me, it was a full-time job and then getting married and starting a family, and those goals just kind of slipped away, but I never stopped thinking about them. I knew that, or at least I thought I knew, that going back to school later in life, that I would be the oldest person in my class, and I had to wrap my head around that a little bit. What would it be like? Well, what I really found was pretty amazing. I found amazing professors that were cheering me on, that really wanted me to succeed, especially when it came to math. That was the scariest part for me. I even got an A in the first math class I took. It was amazing to me. And what encouragement that was. I also found that my classmates were great. Yeah, many of them were high school students who were dual enrolled. Some of them were just out of high school. And some were in their 20s and even 30s. They were so supportive of me. They had respect for me. They didn't mind being in a group with me. And when I shared experiences that I had had when I was younger in school that, you know, were negative, they empathized with me because they had gone through similar things. And so we had this connection, even though I was so much older than they were. In one of my classes, I found it to be extremely interesting and reassuring is that our brain is amazing, if we didn't already realize that. But our brain is capable of learning and changing up until the day we die. We can continue to learn new things, to grasp new information. And more students being over the age of 60 and 65, wow, that's amazing. But look at us. We're living so much longer. Let's keep learning. Good for you all who are getting after it, getting an education, going to clubs, staying active, because I tell you what, keeping active not only physically but mentally is so important as we age. That's my thing number two. And last but not least, I'm going to share a quote with you from Molière. It is not only what we do, but also what we do not do for which we are accountable. Let me read that again. It is not only what we do, but also what we do not do, for which we are accountable. Think about that. For New Beginnings, I'm Cassie Crandall.
Thanks so much, Cassie. We'll talk to you again next week.
See you next week.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org. In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
All Minnesotans age 12 and older who got the Pfizer vaccine should get a booster shot at least 5 months after their second dose. People age 12 to 17 can also receive the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine as their booster dose. To find a vaccine or a booster for your child, visit mn.gov/vaxforkids or check with your healthcare provider or pharmacy or watch for vaccination clinics being offered at schools or other community locations near you. This message from the Minnesota Department of Health. Here is this week's Words to the Wise, Knowledge is Freedom. Today's Words to the Wise, Knowledge is Freedom. You can learn more at my website, freddiebell.com, and I've got a brand new book entitled Words to the Wise, available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com. Where has the time gone? We've had a great week this week, welcoming Leibel Sternbach giving us financial advice. Thank you, Cassie Crandall, with your ideas for a better lifestyle, and career coach Joe McKenzie talking about how we can energize our job search. That's it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for making us a part of your week. And for everyone who's been a part of this one, I'm Freddie Bell saying that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the new New Beginnings Podcast today.